Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning. Please enjoy this wonderful series of messages entitled, No Man Putteth New Wine into Old Bottles. Early in his ministry, Jesus stated this absolute as mentioned in all three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What did our Lord mean by this expression? The answer to that question will be found in this sermon series. This hammers home the importance of the ordinances Christ commanded for the church, which are to be practiced until the end of the age. Join us today at 10 a.m. at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville, Hamilton Hall Conference Room, exit 210 off of I-69. Have a blessed week. This is part 6.
The Bible says, no man putteth new wine into old bottles. The Lord is speaking here. He said this is an understood principle. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. I want to get into the ordinance of baptism, Roman numeral 6 in your notes. This is where I left off the last time. baptism has been defined once and only once by God. Now we're going to compare baptism with the flood. The definition, therefore, becomes of supreme importance. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, "The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now we're going to dissect this passage. A savior. Noah's name means rest. Noah's name means rest. Jesus said, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." He gives rest by giving himself. His life and death built our ark. By perfect obedience to the law of God, he wrought a flood-proof asylum of righteousness. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now that verse there, Hebrews 11:7, that's speaking of Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house, but Jesus prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Who is his house? You! The church! His brethren. We are his brethren. "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So our righteousness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Tells us in Romans 5:19, "For as by one man disobedience, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." That's the first Adam. "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." The last Adam, that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul uses that phrase, first Adam and last Adam, in 1 Corinthians. But it's also there in Book of Romans. Our ark. Two is pitched within and without, with pitch like Noah. God told Noah, make sure you put pitch. What is pitch? Tar that thing. Tar it inside and out so it don't leak. What about a wooden boat? It's a nightmare. Talk to any boater who has a boat, a wooden boat. And it's a nightmare maintaining a wooden boat in the water. Because you got to constantly make sure you're sealing all the seams with some kind of adherent, some kind of caulking that will prevent water from going in there. And then you have rotting wood. Pitch also means atonement or covering. The Hebrew word, kafar. From Strong's Concordance, I gave you the concordance number. "For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The ark is the righteousness. The pitch is the blood. So Christ crucified for our atonement and alive for our righteousness is the ark. Pitched within and without. With his what? Blood. It's death proof. It can't sink. It can't sink. Took Noah 100 years to build that thing almost. A likeness. The flood is a design type of baptism. Man's soul is threatened by the rising flood of the wrath of God. The ark is already built. All are freely invited to enter. Who's the ark again? The Lord Jesus Christ. It is freely built. All are invited to enter. And upon such as enter, the Lord shuts the door. But all who remain without are lost. Inch by inch, God's long-suffering retreated. Inch by inch rose the waters of death until at last the whole world became one vast watery grave. Remember how many people were in that ark? Was there any infants in that ark? No. Noah had three sons and three daughter-in-laws, right? And Noah and Mrs. Noah. There were no infants in there. Interesting. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered, and in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. You know, the creation scientists believe that there could have been 6 billion people on the face of the earth at that time. Because Methuselah lived how long?
969 years.
Yeah, 969 years. And people lived a lot longer. The infant mortality rate was very low. Because people could live longer. So they reproduced much faster. There could have been 6 billion years. Where do you get your petrol from? Your oil? Your gasoline? From the remnants of the flood. Baptism is in this picture. It is a total immersion. It is a water-filled grave. In it, all flesh is buried as incurable. The man is laid as a corpse in the waters of judgment. His soul passes undrowned through the flood only because he is in Christ. He survives in the ark, which is Jesus Christ. Again, baptism. When we baptize, we say, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. It's a picture of a grave. It's a picture of death to our old nature, our old man, our old flesh, and being raised in a likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of what? Resurrection. A denial. Baptism is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It represents a bath. The key word there, represents a bath. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, it says in the book of Acts 22. In Titus 3:5, it talks about the washing of regeneration. But it is not a bath. For the cleansing is not done by the water. The water was Noah's deadliest enemy. It could only drown, it could not save. The flesh is not cleansed in it, but buried in it. Therefore, to commit a soul to the water who is not already in the ark is to commit that soul to the wrath of God. The flood is the anger of the Almighty let loose. He who is saved through it is saved not by the water, but in spite of the water. He is saved by the ark. He is saved by the ark. So this is the overthrow of baptismal regeneration. The Christian church believes that. The Church of Christ. Campbellites. This is the overthrow of baptismal regeneration. Baptism, this is the overthrow of Roman Catholics who say you got to wash away an infant's original sin. Baptism is not a physical bath, nor a spiritual bath, but a pictorial bath of one already cleansed. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what does the cleansing, is the blood of Christ. A definition: baptism is the answer of a good conscience towards God. Here is God's sole definition of his own ordinance. It ought to be the end of all controversy. What is a good conscience? It is a blood-cleansed conscience. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen? The blood of Christ is what purges our conscience. Therefore, any baptism which is not the baptism of a good conscience is not at all God's baptism. It is the baptism of an evil conscience or of an infant who can give no answer, much less the answer of a blood-purged conscience. It is a baptism without an answer between the soul and God, for it must be an answer towards God. This, says God, is baptism, or all else therefore is not baptism. And what we just said is infant baptism. A child, an infant, is not cognizant of information. They cannot interpret what you are saying. Right? A baby just cries because something is bothering it. Either its stomach is hungry, or its diaper is filled, or there's pain. But you can't communicate to that child, an infant, and you cannot teach an infant the Word of God. So the child cannot make a good conscious decision and believe in something. It doesn't have that capability to be to understand knowledge. Baptism saves. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. This is most startling. But if baptism be kept in God's order, all difficulty vanishes. God's baptism is made up of two halves: a blood-sprinkled conscience within and an immersion into water without. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and your bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. A child, an infant, can't do that. A profession of their faith. They cannot make a profession of faith. So baptism, there's two parts: the blood-sprinkled conscience and the immersion into water without. If either half is lacking, it is not God's baptism. How many have heard the term Anabaptist? Okay, our forefathers were accused and derogatory name was given to them as they were called Anabaptists. Anna, the Hebrew word, or the Greek, Latin word, means re-baptizers. And they said, hey, wait a minute. We're not re-baptizing. We're baptizing according to Scripture. Your baptism isn't baptism. Your infant baptism isn't a scriptural baptism. So we're not re-baptizing anybody. We're giving them the true baptism. Where both coexist, baptism necessarily saves. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, you would think, okay, if you just read that phrase, he that believeth and is baptized is saved, then you would believe, okay, well, that's supporting baptismal regeneration. You have to be baptized in order to be saved. But look at the second phrase. But he that believeth not, it doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned. It says he that believeth not shall be damned. So baptism is the next step in your salvation after you are saved, after your faith, that you are to proceed with in your life. Scripture assumes that the baptized are the saved, for it is the saved who are baptized. In Galatians chapter 3, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Colossians chapter 2. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 11 and 12. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. This is a spiritual circumcision. This is not the circumcision from the Old Testament. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. What is circumcision? It's the cutting of the flesh, right? What is spiritual, this circumcision here in the New Testament? It is laying down your old flesh, your old desires, your old will, your old man, as the Bible says, and leaving it in the grave. And rising up in newness with Christ. Does that make sense? Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, where Peter is preaching here. Now, the Pentecostals get confused here. And in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you need to start at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. It means they were saved. Their conscience was pricked. It was made cognizant of their sin that they had crucified. They condoned the crucifixion of Christ. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to say in verse 40, 41, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, this perverse generation. 2,000 years ago, Peter was saying the generation was perverse, and we're saying it today. 41, then they that gladly received his word, there you have to receive it first. They that gladly received his word, that's what they did in verse 38 there, they received his word. Then they were baptized. They received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And verse 47, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Those who are saved and baptized are part of the Lord's church. In Acts chapter 8, it says, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, said to Philip, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip, there's a pool over there. What does hinder you to be baptized? If thou believest, Philip said, with all thy heart, thou mayest. If you believe with all your heart and you're not baptized, there's the pool. I'll baptize you. If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they climbed out of the chariot, descended into the stream, the body of water, and Philip baptized the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.